We are reading from Zohar for All, letter 148. You may find the text on kab.tv. Also, you may ask questions there. Once more on kab.tv, you may find the text Zohar for All, letter 148. You may also ask questions live there. Chosen relevant questions will be asked live in the lesson. Rav says, yesterday I received a question from someone. He says, how are we not taking into account these great people, not being considerate of them, the first Kabbalists as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You said now quite a few times about the Babel and the Kabbalah, which originated from there. And I understood these names and the words in general, even that we read about yesterday. We read yesterday in the text about scents of the field, the clothes, the scented scent. The words, they disturb a person, they bother him. We forget that the words are symbols, they're signs. They're comprised, made up of letters, which are only signs, and a letter is no more than a sign of some spiritual attribute. And the sum total of the spiritual attributes, it gives us some small system called a letter. And the sum of the letters brings us some action, some spiritual structure, which in sum total is a desire which changes and receives all sorts of different manners and forms. And truly, as I read his question, I saw that absolutely how I feel words and how he feels words, there's a great difference. He feels a word, let's say Abraham, as some image, some character, sorry, and a scent is something that you smell, something that truly comes from below upwards, and you smell it. Yes, this sort of sensation, I mean, this, it is present in man, the scent. But for me, this is not so. All these words have no taste, no scent, no connection with Abraham, the historical Abraham, or rather only desires, forces, or attributes that initially all the words are similar. Tell me Abraham, or donkey, or the creator, or left leg. It's all the same. I don't know what it is. I only make the effort to understand, but not that beyond these words I already depict myself anything. No, all the words for me are the same. Just words, signs, symbols, that I know nothing about them. Like, I don't know, they might be Chinese hieroglyphics or something. Maybe this one is nicer than the other. This one looks like a house, this letter. I don't know what more. Maybe the next letter looks like some animal. But I myself would not differentiate between them. They wouldn't have some sensation related to them. Maybe, yes, according to, let's say, the depiction, the form of the letter or something. But not more than that. For me, the words or hieroglyphics are the same thing. It's a sum total of forces, of symbols, which is drawn this way. And so when we read Zohar, we absolutely need to disconnect from all sensations, from all our relations to each and every word, what we attribute to the words normally. Rather, we want to search for what it is. And surely that it occurs in me. More than this, I do not know. Because absolutely, what's spoken about is a world which I don't yet reveal in me. All sorts of phenomena that are concealed within me, that I need to make the effort to reveal them with effort, with force. Where is it occurring in me? And surely we need on the way to disconnect from every connection which these words can normally awaken me to what is this world. There's no connection. Like we learn about languages of the branches, yes, Kabbalistic words from this world in order to express through them spiritual discernment, spiritual descriptions, which are desires and the forms of the desires, and not more. Yes, substance and the form clothed in the substance. The desire is substance, and its form is the desire to bestow. The intention to bestow, which is present in the desire. How to use the desire in order to bestow. Like, I don't know, less or more, different manners, that's all it's expressing. Nothing more than this. And thus, his accusation, the person who sent me this letter, you said about Abraham and Isaac, you said about all these things and this process, and what happened in Egypt. Okay, so he says I spoke about it. Okay, so I was mistaken. No such thing. How's that? We are learning about the internality of the Torah. We have to make the effort to reveal within us the spiritual world. The words are the same words, but what's behind them is something new. What is this? That's the question. Please, let's continue. Letter 148. And he smelled the smell of his garments. And he smelled the smell of his garments. The smell of my son is as the smell of a field. This means that the clothes were emitting fragrance, and that scent never vanished from them. It is written, the smell of his garments. And it is written, the smell of my son. He does not say the smell of the clothes, but the smell of my son. Since Jacob entered the Garden of Eden with him, and those clothes were of Adam HaRishon. As it is written, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them and took them out of the Garden of Eden. Let's say we just read this letter, 148, yes. What's spoken about is the desire. Receives some form, yes? Of Adam HaRishon. I don't know what that is, but it's a form of a desire, yes? Then he received the form of Yaakov, and then the wife of Adam HaRishon, of the clothes, smells. I don't know what this is. Forms of the desire, however, these forms are tied between them. There's only one topic here. If we are holding ourselves all the time that this is only speaking about desires and forms of desires, so we'll have what to grasp onto correctly. Let's continue, 149. And should you say, it is written, and they sowed fig leaves, what are the garments of skins that the Lord had made for them? And why does it say, and the Lord God made, if they sowed by themselves? It is written, garments of skins. But were they not fig leaves? Rather, garments of skins should be interpreted as the most precious of clothes. And they were emitting scent from the perfumes in Eden. Read a little bit slower, okay? 150. They were made with the full name, as it is written, and the Lord God made, which is the full name. The heaven and the earth were not made so, because it is only God in regard to them. But it is written, in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven, meaning the corrected will to receive in its entirety. Havaya Elokim, entirely corrected will to receive. Yet this is not perplexing, since when they were made, they were not made with a full name. And when they existed in the full name. And the verse, in the day that the Lord God made, refers to existence. So there is the general, large, corrected desire, which merges, which is called the world of Ein Sof, infinity, and he manages all the details of the states we are going through. 151. And what they said, that these garments came to that wicked Esav, who took them from Nimrod, is perplexing, since it says, for Adam and for his wife, meaning those same clothes, they were the same clothes, the same dressing, same intentions. Since it says, for Adam and for his wife, meaning he made garments for Adam and garments for Eve. And what was done with Eve's garments? With what were they buried? Is it conceivable that they left the sublime radiance that the Creator gave them and threw them off themselves? But these garments that Adam and Eve had worn, no other person wore them, since with these garments they were similar to what is above. And if you consider that they had worn them by themselves, it is written, and clothed them, meaning the Creator clothed them. Happy are they. 153. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. And it is written, splendor and majesty are before him. It is also written, covering yourself with light as with a cloak. Since he was clothed, he created the world. This teaches that the Creator covered himself in light and created the heavens and the clothes of Adam HaRishon were similar to this clothing, the best garments are attires of kingship. silk, and gold. It is common practice to adorn them with perfumes and fragrances for the preciousness of the garments. 154. First, he smelled the smell of his garments, since he thought that the scent was coming from them. And when he felt, he said, "See the smell of my son," since he knew that it was up to him, that the scent was coming for him, not from the clothes. As the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. But how did Yitzchak know the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed? 155. These are two things, but it is all one. It is written, Yitzchak went out to meditate in the field towards evening, and he was one with the field which the Lord has blessed. But did he not have a house or some other place in which to pray? Rather, it was that field which Abraham bought near the cave of Machpelah, as it is written, the field which Abraham purchased of the children of Chet. And when Yitzchak came to the field, he saw divinity over it, and it was emitting high and holy scent. Hence he prayed there and set that place as a place of prayer. 155. Only desires. Only different desires, that it is all that's spoken about. Why did Abraham not pray there in the field of the cave of Machpelah, as did Yitzchak? It is so because in the beginning he had permanency of a different place, and he saw another thing of scent on Mount Moriah. And why is it called Mount Moriah? It is named after the good mirror that was there, the good mole that was there. 157. And it was all with Jacob, Yaakov, since besides his smell, Galgalta Enaim entered with him too. And this is why he blessed him. For this reason, he did not ascribe the matter to the clothes, but to Jacob, to Yaakov himself, since he saw that the scent depended on him, and he was worthy, and his merit was rising to be blessed, and he entered the Garden of Eden with him. For this reason, when Esav complained, he said, "He shall be blessed as well." 158. The Torah should have been written only from, "This month shall be unto you," since it is the beginning of the dominion of the moon. Hence, the Torah should have begun to be written from here. This was connected to the Creator, because the moon is Malchut. When she is whole, she unites with the Creator. Hence the Torah should have begun at the start of wholeness of the moon, which is
להתחיל בתחילה שלמות הלבנה שהוא,
which is this month shall be unto you the beginning of months.
159. It is not perplexing that it does not say this month, since the name of the moon is this. This is so because this and this are tied together. And where there are male and female together, the merit is only for the male. This is why it says this month and not this. Hence it says it shall be the first month of the year to you. Month of the year indicates that it concerns Malchut called year. But the merit depends on the male. It writes to you. This is because the doubling of the to you emphasizes that it is only for Israel and not for the rest of the nations. As it is written, for the Lord's portion is his people. This connection of the month is for you and not for the rest of the nations, meaning for these desires and not for others. Any questions? Yes. Niv? What to do if we cannot penetrate through the text? To penetrate through the text? I don't know what it means to penetrate through the text. Please explain to me what you mean. It is to develop some kind of emotional response to it. We remain in a superficial level. I don't know. I heard that there's the world of Ensof. That is called the whole desire created by the Creator, which is in adhesion with Him. And there is everything, different kind of desires connected between them in through thousands of systems. I don't know what. And it is all in adhesion, in harmony, completely in the intention in order to bestow every desire and all its connections with all the rest of the desires. This is the beginning and this is the final state. One and third. We are in the second state. In that second state, we have to reach the third state. How? To keep on trying to locate, to find out those systems which are in more advanced ways towards bestowal, to the mutual connection between them, to adhesion with what is called Ensof, the Creator. Because Ensof describes to me the revealed Creator in its wholeness. Now I learn about that desire in different parts of it. It is said, nations of the world, Israel, David, Shlomo, Nimrod, Adam HaRishon, smelt, scent, Abraham, field, the Machpelah's cave. I know that we're only talking about desires from that great desire. There are different parts of it. Those parts of it, these private desires, they always exist. I have nothing to say about the desire itself. Rather, they explain to me about the different kinds of corrections, about different ways that the desire is acting through. And this is what the Zohar is telling us. So I just hear that desire is connected to that desire and thinks about the other desire in a certain way and speaks about another in another way. Only desires. What does it mean, speak of, connect to, deliver, buy, sell? I don't know what it all means. But we're talking about different kinds of connections. If you ask me about that world, it's the same thing. It's only a desire, in which only the desire act and different connections between desires. The fact that you describe through your screen in the back of your mind that there are some images, figures, these are your imagination, so you can describe it, that's your own business, but actually we're only talking about desires. This is how they are connected with one another, these systems with those systems. If every time you relate to the system in that way, then surely you won't be mistaken, for sure. What do we learn in Talmud Esar Sfirot, in Tes? Other than the desire, the will to receive, the intention which rides it, and the form that the will to receive receives by the intention called or light. What does it mean to fulfill the desire? The fulfillment of the desire, that means the quality of bestowal that desire expresses from within itself. What is a fulfillment? The same letters, instead of Yud K Vav K, there will be Yud K Vav K, and that is called milui, fulfillment, or pnimi, inner light. This is all light. It's true. It's light. The will that receives the form of bestowal is called the light in it, inside the desire. So we never speak about the light, rather about the form of the desire, which is called all light, form dressed in matter. When the desire receives the form of bestowal, we say, oh, the light in it. That's the way it goes. Therefore, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, we don't learn about anything more than the desire and different changes it goes through. Same thing here. Only the language is different. The language is different, but not the reality. The Creator didn't create anything else other than the desire, and that desire extracts all kinds of changes into it. And this is what we learn about. According to the changes that it extracts into the desire, we can learn about it, about the Creator, but in the way of Bo Ure, come and see, inside the substance, inside the matter, which receives different kinds of forms. Accordingly, I can understand what he wants, what he thinks, which purpose does he have, whether I can help that purpose or not, how do I relate to it. So inside the desire we already have different incorporations of different desires. A desire can think whether he wants to or not by himself, meaning that he has a desire and its opposite, which is also a desire, but a will to receive this and the will to bestow. So from the side of the will to receive, I can look at the will to bestow, and from the will to bestow, I can look at the will to receive. And then there's me, and I feel like it, or I don't want to. So the desire is already comprised from four different levels. I can want something and say, no, I shouldn't want to, meaning there's a higher desire that can govern a smaller desire in me, etc. And then I reach a state where I engage with the desires within me, I should deal with those desires in spite of the others, and how can I overcome those desires compared to the others? Ah, to overcome, meaning I myself begin to determine in which kinds of desires to be, in which ways what to prefer over the other, etc. Compared to whatever for, I discover that there is a higher, more sublime desire also in me. And I can resemble that desire, I can be in some kind of connection with it. Everything is inside the desire. But see how many things. Our whole world, this is also nothing but a desire. But see how many different manners there are in the desire. Sounds, scents, feelings, emotions, five senses. How many things. And how many processes. And the kinds of connections between those desires, which we discover, and infinite more than what we can discover. Every day we discover in our science and from our impressions and excitements in our desire, which keeps growing in us, and then it helps us to get to know more and more different manners in it, and then it seems to us that we discover the world, the external world. But this is because the will inside of us grows, so it seems to us that the external world develops or is more opened up. Same thing about spirituality. We mustn't get outside the desire. Therefore, yesterday, when that guy asked me that question, I realized that definitely the connection of these names with the historical geographic reality or our lives is very disturbing, and he cannot disconnect from it. Elad from Israel is asking whether, in order to receive the discernments while studying, is it conditioned in my ability to differentiate between the matter and forms dressed in matter? It's not so important. He should think about the forms of the desire. About the forms of the desire. Abraham is a form of a desire. Creator is another form of a desire. World, another form of desire. Us, me, a flower. Doesn't matter what. Everything are forms of desires. That's it. Also spirituality, corporality, doesn't matter what. Because there is only a desire where we feel, attain, speak of. That's the only thing. And it's forms. Therefore, it's not hard for me if I keep aiming myself to that only. Then there is no room for confusion. Behind every word, I don't understand what it means, and I don't care whether I understand or not for the time being. Only my present goal is behind every word to think about the phenomena within the desire. And everything was in Jacob. So we're talking about a desire, a certain desire, because other than its scent, also heaven entered with him, and therefore he chose him. There's a question from the U.S. whether if the field is a place of work, so how can we understand what a smell is? A smell is a phenomenon of a desire called field. So there's a certain phenomenon in it called smell. What? I'll tell you what. What's the difference in our world When we imagine field and the smell of a field, aren't these types of desires? So in spirituality, it's a raw desire without any corporeal description, like in our case. We too have to get rid from the corporeal descriptions and not look with my corporeal eyes about the field and the scent, the smell that is coming from the field. Ah, I smell from the field. If you will ask psychologists or biologists, they will tell you that smell is such and such a chemical component, and this is why it affects you the way it does, because these are materials, meaning an expression of a desire. Another question from the U.S. If I will read the interpretation of the letter, will I be able to understand Zohar for all better? What is the interpretation of the letter? What we are reading now is together with the interpretation of the letter. I don't understand the question. No. I didn't say preface. He means what we are reading. Zohar for all, that includes the book of Zohar with the interpretation of the letter together. What do they think? That we did something new here? That we made something false? He should get into the Zohar and look at it. We didn't do anything other than a bit of a cleaning of the text to make the reading easier, with brackets and the different additionals, Aramaic, which he probably can't read anyway. But this is the Zohar with the interpretation of the letter. That's it. What, Amikam? What have you got for us? He writes here about the desire of Adam and Eve. This is what bothers you. Two kinds of desires. Okay. But why? Why? I don't know. We're not asking about why. Why only the desire of Eve was concealed? I don't know. Clothes. Where they were buried, with or without clothes, I don't know what it means. What are you describing to yourself, Adam and Eve? What are you thinking about when you speak the way you do? Adam and Eve, I think that this is the creation. What is the creation? I don't know. Such a name of what? Of a machine? No, he writes here that he wears the garment because my God, you are sublime. You confuse all of us. I ask you something. What does it mean, Adam and Eve? Tell me. What? There was Adam first and then Eve came out of him? It's a question I cannot answer. So what are you asking then? My question is, why was only the desire of Eve was concealed? She was inside of Adam, she came out of him, and she re-entered again. So, what's the problem? The will to receive was revealed in a form called Eve. It was hidden before a will to receive called Adam first. That's it. Like the Achab, suppose, which came out, which is revealed or concealed. So, I don't understand. Do you have some connection to the word Eve, to that word? This is a desire which is revealed out of a desire called Adam. There was a desire named Adam. He was an angel. Everything was perfectly fine. All of a sudden, another part was disclosed in him. An additional coarseness called Eve. And he didn't have a complete correction for that part. Therefore, that part caused the general dissension of the entire desire. Adam and Eve, this whole desire, due to this additional which was revealed without a complete correction, so there was the dissension, the break. the breakage. That's it. Like in the shattering of the vessels. Item 160, a lamp for household. Speak to all the congregation, why on the 10th of the month, when the Yovel Bina shines to the moon, Malchut, as it is written in the Yovel, on the 10th day of this 7th month, is the day of atonement. And the day of atonement is the illumination of Bina. Thus, the illumination of Bina in Malchut is on the 10th of the month. 161. Here he's giving us an emphasis on times, meaning on situations which we go through. 161. They shall take a them, every man a lamb. They shall take to them every man a lamb, according to their father's houses. This is so because at the time it needs to be anointed, since we learned that in the taking of the lamb, the bottom keter broke, the one to which all the other lower keters of Kilpia cling. And Moses explained that and said, draw out and take you lambs, which are, as written, flocks and men servants and maid servants, which are the bottom keters of the klipot, and the flocks contain them all. And the Egyptians made them into gods. 162. The Creator said, you do the deed below, extending and taking flock, and I will break their force above. And as you make them to burn in fire, as it is written, but roast with fire, I too will take them through fire above in a river of fire. 163. Why was he anointed on the 10th of the month and slaughtered on the 14th? Israel were tied under the enslavement of the lamb, the god of Egypt, for 400 years. And although they were not enslaved for the whole of the 400 years, it is still considered that they were enslaved the whole of the 400 years because they were willing to connect to them for 400 years. Had the Creator not skipped the end, this is why the lamb is held for 4 days, tied in the authority of Israel. Then, the whole of the congregation of Israel slaughters it at twilight. 164. Why is it slaughtered at twilight? Because it is at a time when there is din, and when this thing, the exile in Egypt, was given through Abraham, as it is written, and it came to pass that when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a dread, even a great darkness, fell upon him. Dread is one keter of klipa. Darkness is another keter. Great means it is greater than all the keters. And although we have clarified that text about the rest of the enslavement of Israel, where dread is Babel, darkness is Medes, Madai, and great is Greece, Yavan. It all did happen. They imply the three keters of Klipa, as well as the exiles, as we said about the lamb, that the Creator said, you do the deed below, and I will break their force above. Thus, for I will utterly blot out, you will do below, and I will do above. 165. Israel did not come out of Egypt until the government of all their ministers was broken above. And Israel departed their domain and came to the domain of the upper holiness in the Creator and tied to Him. As it is written, "For the sons of Israel are my servants, they are my servants." What is the reason that they are my servants? It is that I brought them out from the land of Egypt. I have brought them out of the other authority and brought them into my authority. So here in this part, the emphasis is about the changes in the Wilteresim and not of its descriptions, rather of its changes. So first of all, there's the Yovel, 50 years, different days, and then the transition from one desire to another. Any questions? Yes, please. Amit from Kfar Vradim says that in the effort on working on the desire, he disconnects from the text and he connects more to inner experience, and then he sees that he is floating and apprehends and captures nothing. So he asks, what is next? This is what his question is, whether behind all his inner trips where he is, whether behind all of that he has a question, when will redemption come? When will salvation come? Does he has the demand for the light that reforms? He describes this, he describes that, he walks here, he walks there, doesn't matter. Whether behind all his trips, on the background of all his thoughts and efforts, does he anticipate for the light to illuminate on him, to change him, to rise him, to elevate him, to give him the feeling, the understanding, the connection, to feel, to appreciate, to want to be inside these qualities of bestowal told to him by the Zohar? I want to. As much as we can, in potential, doesn't matter, but whether this is the direction he's taking, if that's where his heart is drawn to and wants to advance in that direction. If that is the case, then it doesn't matter what he thinks, whether he gets confused or not, whether he thinks about his emotions, about what is written in the book, or even if he doesn't hear what we're reading at all. But that question is in him. That's what matters. Where will my aid come from? Cesar Valeri from Brazil is asking, what does it mean when you say that we need to discover what stands behind the desire? Behind the desire? What we read in the book of Zohar is that the Creator brought us different kinds of examples and this is what we have to be impressed from. We don't know what it is. Like little kids, we want to be like them, to resemble them. We can't. We don't want to turn to the group. don't want to, can't demand it from the books, from the text. But you have to actually to search for something that will push you forward, to connect to those situations and actions. The Zohar is telling you about, although you understand nothing, but I want to. Why? Because we're speaking about sublime situations, about situations of bestowal, spiritual situations, and I want to feel them, I want to be in them. How can I do that? All in all, these questions should be in us constantly as our main concern. And it really doesn't matter. We just read two pages. I remember nothing. But if I was thinking about me wanting that material to influence me so that I will enter that world, that I will feel what the text is talking about, then I will feel it very strongly. How that book, how that reading, although I don't remember a single word, how does it work on me? My moods will change. Different qualities in me will change. How I look at the world, how I look at myself, I will start feeling different changes on a daily basis. Literally, until one day, I will feel plenty of changes. And all that is from just reading, although I don't know what I'm reading at all and what it wants to tell me. I have no connection to the book other than the question that I want it to be revealed. So, and this is the work of the surrounding lights, or Mekif. This is the virtue, this is the merit. For there can be no more action from the upper world upon us other than the merit virtue, meaning that there is no connection, because there is no connection between the will to receive and the will to bestow. The connection is through the Creator, which is the root for both. This is why this hidden connection is called Sgula, virtue, merit. Of course, this is a law, and everything is according to a formula, a special kind of formula, but a secret formula. I don't know it. This is why it is called Sgula, virtue, merit. I press the button on one thing, all of a sudden something pops out in another place. The whole system is concealed. I don't understand. I don't know the way it's working. But I was told, try to do only one thing. Read, open up your mouth, your eyes and ears. Just want it. If you don't want to, look at your friends. You have the quality of jealousy. You were given it by nature deliberately. Start being jealous in them because they want to. Perhaps you will even start thinking that they feel and attain more than you do. And see how much that will help you if you will look at your friends as great ones and at yourself as being small, little, next to them. That's it. Okay. Yes. I'm a bit confused with the issue of the desire. Confusion is a constant state, and there is no reason to be afraid of or run away from it. This is the way it works. Now I can explain to you thousands of things in a brilliant way. In me, I'm confused with my own things always. One has nothing to do with the other. Yes. But still, when I try to understand every word, every sentence in as my desires, eventually in every article there's a beginning, middle, and end. So how should I relate to that desire from the beginning to its end? He tries to tell me about one general desire in me. I don't know. Ask him. No, I'm not kidding. Ask him a question that means raising man, a deficiency, demand. So I have a question. What is the difference between what we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah to the Zohar? What are the differences? If we learn articles in the wisdom of Kabbalah where there's a beginning, middle, and end, and we understand it, we perceive it in our minds eventually. And no, that's wrong. You don't perceive it in your minds. We mustn't perceive things in our minds. We mustn't perceive a text written in the language of Kabbalah in our minds. Everything is the wisdom of Kabbalah, also the Zohar. Only it was written in the language of Midrash, and Baal HaSulam added to it the language of Kabbalah so that it will have a better grip in it. In Talmud Esra HaSfirot, test, it was written in the language of Kabbalah only in the language of Kabbalah. Therefore, in tests as well, we have to describe the things that they happen inside the desire. It's obvious there that it is happening inside the will to receive, with the intention to bestow on a screen, and how much the will to receive works with that masach and the intention to bestow. A desire in the form of bestow, which rides it, which is called masach, screen, and all chozer, returning light. And here it's the same thing. Only the external expression is different. And by being different, that precisely gives you a better opportunity. I'm still looking for the right word. That gives you an opportunity to demand more than in tests. But those of you who learn tests in an intellectual way, when you think you understand, this is wisdom in the nations, you shall believe that, but you turn yourself into a bat instead of a roaster. He turns the potion of life into potion of death. Then he understands and is a professor. He can philosophize about things, write interpretations about tests, and what's in it for him. What does he have as a result? Does it help him to enter the godliness recognition, which is the purpose of the wisdom of Kabbalah, the revelation of God, of the Creator to his creatures in this world? Does that help him in knowing a little bit of more of his philosophies? Therefore, that's wrong. That's dismissed. We don't learn Talmud Esra HaSfirot in order to understand it. We want to understand few rules so that we will be able to better work with our desires. That's it. To crave more, for more. To understand more how much we're not into it. But those who learn in order to know, to actually know, meaning in their minds, in their intellect, and not to know, meaning from to connect according to the equivalence of form. That is completely wrong. Okay, so the word intellectually, mentally was wrong. But when we study the articles in Kabbalah, something at the end you have something emotional. You have but when you read the Zohar, you only have confusions. In Zohar, you have confusions over confusions and over confusions and more and more and more. And on top of it, you have to constantly keep on demanding, okay, where is it? Why is it? When will it open up for me? How? You don't just hear things and some sounds next by your ear, next to your ear. You want to discover inside of you, like in a spiritual anatomy, the qualities, the desires, the actions, these transitions which are in between desires, in between situations. What does the Torah want to tell us? In the beginning, God created to the very last word. It wants to describe the whole process that the will to receive is going through until it is completely corrected. That's it. Doesn't matter which language we use. Glycerin? And if the mental search helps to reach a demand in order to penetrate the picture and relating to things as babies pulls you out, like your advices contradict one another, it's being like a baby and coming to a demand. It's contradicting. Perhaps these advices may seem contradicting because there are two kinds of people. One has right line, the other has left line. Some are more emotional, some are more intellect. That's true. There are people like me which perceive in the beginning the wisdom of Kabbalah as wisdom, as spiritual physics, and they simply want to know the formulas and the examples and the drawings, etc., etc., how to clothe it, how to enter it into something which is defined, something that the mind can read, understand, organize and connect, analyze, synthesis, the lot. But after that, after engaging in it in such a way, if one studies the right way, still with the right teacher in a group and all, he begins to feel that it's not enough. What's in it for him? How many angels are in the sky? What are their names? That's the point. So what? So I will write in my diary that there are a few hundreds or a few thousands of angels and all their names. And what is every angel in charge of? How will it help me? Or even if I won't write it, I will remember it by heart, and then I will speak before everybody, and everybody will think how smart I am. So what? Am I in what they're talking about? Myself, in my qualities, my feelings, am I a part of the next world or not? That is the purpose. Those who want to be smart, so-called smart, wise guys, they are in darkness, but they think that they are smart. So they learn the way they do. A person who has the inclination to truly be in spirituality, he won't calm down. He won't be able to settle. He will always have the feeling that he does not understand, that he doesn't know. Not that he doesn't know intellectually, meaning that I don't have it. I can tell you whatever you want to hear about, but I don't have it myself. So these are two different things. Therefore, eventually, everybody come to an emotional deficiency that I have to feel it, I have to be in it, it has to take place, it has to occur in me, to dress in me. This is actually the whole point, that this spiritual picture, this is something that I have to feel. This book is an adventure book, but it's not that an adventure that you read about or that you look at like in a cinema. There are new technologies, 3D technologies, 4D technologies, I don't know how it's called. It's more than that. You yourself penetrate within. It's not that it seems to you that you're inside, rather you are truly inside. You don't need any glasses or anything else inside to be inside that movie. You're there, and this movie is playing from within you. And the demand for that comes from the point in the heart. And to warm it up, to warm up this demand, that is why you need a group for. There is no other way to do it. Only the group, only the society can give a person an additional force in addition to his point in the heart to reach the goal. If he doesn't bend over towards the group in order to receive that force from them, he won't make it. This is the avud, the bonding without which no one has a kli, a vessel. A little bit more. 166, Sorda and Leaven. But on the first day you shall remove Leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened, this sarda and leaven are one degree, and they are all one. Another authority are the ministers appointed over the rest of the nations. And we called them the evil inclination, another authority, a foreign god, and other gods. Here too, Sarda and leavened food are all one. The Creator said, all those years you stood in another authority and served a different people. From here on, you are free. But on the first day, you shall remove leaven from your houses. You shall eat nothing leavened, and nothing leavened shall be seen among you. 167. It follows that we should not even eat leaven all the days of the year. So why only 7 days? After all, it is written, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. As long as one must show oneself as free, one should not eat leaven. And when one is not obliged, there is no need for prohibition of leaven. 168. It is like a king who made one man a minister. All the days while he was climbing to that degree, he was happy and wore stately clothes. Afterwards, he did not need it. On another year, he keeps those days when he had risen to this glory and wore those clothes. And so it was every year. Such are Israel. It is written, 7 days shall there be no leaven found. These are the days of joy, the days when they have risen to dishonor and emerged from the enslavement by another. And for this reason, every single year, we keep those days when we have risen to dishonor and emerge from the other authority and have come to the domain of holiness. This is why it is written, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. To read Zohar is like listening to music which affects me, although I don't understand the notes. And when I hear music another time, it has a greater impact. So my question is, if we will read the text another time, it will help us connect more to it. Perhaps you're right. Perhaps we should do it twice instead of once. But I have a problem. I'm preparing the Zohar for print while reviewing it with you. And my interest is to do it as quickly as possible. Therefore, by preparing it for others, although we don't read it twice and perhaps we're losing as a result, but because we prepare it for others, so we won't be harmed, we won't lose. But you're right. Here, perhaps a second time, would have been a different kind of reading, and perhaps no, because the second time when you get the words, when you know the words better, then perhaps you will start describing different kinds of forms, which are irrelevant to the will to receive, rather to the corporeal images, figures. And that's the problem. We don't want to have any images, figures, and statues. Avi Moshe from says that although your advice is about the intellect, he makes a summary of all his attempts and he clearly understands that he needs to understand the words in his mind because this is the only way he can attain emotion. So what to do about such a conclusion? To fight it. He should try and then we'll see. What does he think that by being able now or not he has this conclusion or another, that's it, that's the end of it? He will have thousands of this along the way. The fact that he's beginning now, he thinks he will finish it all tomorrow. There's time. Everything will change. This is a path. A long path till we will end the book at least once, and I hope till then we will start feeling what the text is speaking about. But we'll have more and more different kinds of conclusions. There's no way. We will have to keep scrutinizing the approach over and over again, because only there our success depends on that. I have nothing more to say. Yes, Eli. When we talk about a desire, it is seemingly understood, but when I try to scrutinize that concept called a desire in me, I see that I have no perception in it. I can't diagnose what a desire is. So don't describe it inside yourself. Describe as if we're talking about a kind of a desire, and in that desire, something on the side, there are different desires with Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Esav, Asaf as well, Moses, Eli, doesn't matter whom or what. Different desires. Now, there are different times there. Call it times, meaning situations, such a time or another time, day, night, meaning situations, different situations inside the feeling of the desire. And that desire is also divided into still vegetative, animate, and speaking. The Machpelah cave, field, smell, trees, animals, cows, etc., etc., etc. So what? These are desires. They're not in you. Okay, so they're not in you. But you want to feel them. You want to be in that picture. It's not that they're in you, rather you want to be in them. Okay, fine. Leave it that way. Leave it that way. It doesn't matter. As long as you keep wanting to, I want to. So again, all those things will change immensely many times, but the direction is already there. You're already talking about the desires and different manners of the desire, time, motion, place, distances, everything is there. The existence of the reality, and that there's one force changing the desire, etc., etc. So you already have the right attitude to a certain degree. You have to work on it, you have to get used to it, and it will definitely help us tomorrow when we'll have an even bigger confusion. But this is the way to advance, and you will keep on feeling new confusions. That means that the Zohar is working on you. What else can I tell you? Later, it's written in the blog in the middle of the day, so read it again. Remind yourself those things a little bit. Although till then you will change, so you will look at it differently, perhaps in a good eye or evil eye. Perhaps you understand something or don't understand anything at all. You forgot all about it. So keep reviewing the same things during the day until we will come back to that source in the evening, and this is the way to advance. Building the vessels, this is something which is very gradual. Slow or not, this is up to us, but it is gradual. That depends on the chain of the Reshimot, and therefore we have no choice. We have to keep on trying to make as many actions as possible, very severe, very energetical ones. How do I connect to that effort also the desire to be with the friends so that they too will be in that desire? How do I connect to that desire, the desire to support my friends? Because without them, it's not that I don't attain it. Without them, I don't relate to that text properly. If I don't connect to them first, then I don't relate to that text the right way. We talked about it many times before. Can't keep repeating it. If we're talking about spirituality, then first I connect to the society. And the connection between us, this is how I relate to the book of Zohar. And let's move on to the second part of the lesson.